You know, the Psalms have a little bit of emotion in them, don't they? We're going to be reading about a psalm with a lot of wrestling, a lot of emotions. We're going to continue through the Psalm series now. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 7. Now, it's another Psalm of David, another deeply personal psalm. David is crying out to God in this psalm. Commentators believe that David wrote this psalm with someone in mind who was pursuing him. And that person, you could see probably in the heading and the notation in before the psalm, that person was Cush. Of course, Cush is another name for Ethiopia in the Bible, but this person's name was Cush, a Benjaminite. Now, what's interesting about that is David was of the tribe of Judah. David was the second king of Israel. Remember, he was being pursued by the first king of Israel who was jealous of him. His name was Saul. And guess what tribe Saul was from? The tribe of Benjamin. Cush is most likely one of Saul's soldiers that was out to kill David, along with a lot of other people from Saul's camp. So this guy, Cush, was most likely one of Saul's soldiers that was after David to kill him, just like Saul was after David to kill him. So you could see the anguish, the turmoil, the extreme agony that David is going through as he is running literally for his life. We know that he had to leave everything, and we know that in this psalm, David appeals to God, cries out to him. What does David say in this psalm? We're going to get into all of this, but he says, "Arise, Lord, against your enemies, against my enemies." He calls upon the Lord, and he calls upon the Lord as a righteous judge. This is a big theme that we're going to talk about today. But as he calls upon God as a righteous judge, he also looks at his own life. He examines his own life in light of God's judgment. We're going to see that. But ultimately, what we're going to see in Psalm 7 is David seeks God's righteousness. He's a righteous judge, not just a judge who's indiscriminate with his judgments and his gavel. He is a righteous judge. And we see David seeking God's righteousness itself, not his own righteousness, not David's own righteousness. He seeks God's righteousness, and he seeks a deliverance that only can come from God, the righteous judge alone. So, Psalm 7, we're going to begin with verse 1. I'm going to read the first two verses as we begin our message today. O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. Well, you could say, well, that David is just being melodramatic here. You know, man, gosh, what language, what imagery. But let me tell you, they would have torn him apart had they gotten a hold of David. The jealousy of Saul knew no bounds. He was, as we know, he was possessed, or not possessed, but oppressed by an evil spirit. Saul was in bad shape, and we know he was out to get David because David represented everything Saul wanted to be but couldn't be. You know, Saul has slayed his thousands, it says in the Bible, David his tens of thousands. Everything Saul did, David did better, right? And so there was an extreme amount of jealousy, and Saul was out to get him. And David is in anguish. Not only Saul, but all those people. Guess what? Saul had all this influence. Saul had all this power as king. He was the most important and powerful man in the land of Israel. So, of course, what did he do? He turned everybody against David. He got all of his men, and they're out to get him. David's reputation, which is, of course, is important, was long tarnished. He had to flee. He had to leave everything. His reputation was completely shot. But it's not only his reputation. They're out to get his life. They're out to kill him. Listen to what David says later on in the psalm. Turn down to Psalm 7, verses 14, 15, and 16. Listen to what he says about the depravity here of those that are pursuing him. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head and his own skull, and on his own skull, his violence descends. Very, like a lot of imagery there, very, very important, the imagery, and just really powerful there. You know, sometimes we bring upon things on ourselves. Sometimes, you know, David messed up, and because he messed up, there's consequences to the actions that David took. But then there's some times where you can do everything right. You know, David, in this instance, pretty much did everything right. He did everything Saul asked him to do. He was a warrior for Saul. He went out and ran Saul's campaigns for him. And David did everything right. And still, evildoers were pursuing him. Sometimes you can do every single thing right, and still people are out to get you for no cause. No cause at all. And David is describing the mindset here of those people that do it. It's almost like they just feed upon that, and it's almost like they go down this pit. They go into this pit farther and farther and farther, and they end up, you know, hurting themselves. We know this in the long run. Of course, the proverbial, you reap what you sow. If you sow evil, you will eventually reap evil. It may not happen in this world, but it sure is going to happen in the next world, because God, again, is a righteous judge. But that is hardly comfort for us, and I'm sure it was hardly comfort for David. As he continues to flee for his life, he has to go live in caves. He has to leave everything he knew. He has to go and live with the Philistines, who were the enemies of Israel, all because he was fleeing from his life from these enemies. What does David do in the midst of all of this? Well, what he does is he appeals to God. Psalm 7, verse 6. Let's go there. Here's what David says. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you. Let it return on high. He's appealing to God. He's appealing to God as a judge. He's appealing to God as the one who is fair, equitable, and righteous as a judge. He calls upon the Lord because David trusted God. He wouldn't call upon somebody he doesn't trust. He called upon God and the Lord alone because David trusted God, and he trusted that God would vindicate him. Now, it took a while. It took a long time. David was crowned king by God through the prophet Samuel. We remember that, right? That was like even before David and Goliath. That was before all of the campaigns. That was years and years before David actually became king. So there was an interim period of years where David knew he was appointed king, but fleeing from his life from the one who is currently king. So it just did not seem like things were going to work out. But David believed that God would eventually vindicate him. Why? Because David knew that God was righteous, and David knew that God is just. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 6. And we have to know this today. When it seems like your enemies are pursuing you and nothing is letting up, we have to know that God is righteous and God is just. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the side where there's glory and honor and immortality, not, you know, wrath and fury. So we need to get on the right side of this. This is the word of God, though. We can stand on this. David stood on the word of God. We can stand on the word of God, especially in those times that we feel like David, especially in those times like Psalm 7, when we're just running. We're fleeing, it seems, from our enemies. God is the all-powerful judge, but he's also righteous in his judgments, and he will judge all of us. We have to remember that. You know, as much as we want to say, God, you know, get those enemies of mine, they're so bad and I'm so good, we also have to remember that at times we can do unrighteous things. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's go there. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Now listen to these words. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let us who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is the key right here. We, as we're going through whatever we're going through, whatever you happen to be going through in your life, whatever I happen to be going through, let us who suffer according to God's will entrust our souls to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. This is what David did. He continued to do good before the Lord, and he entrusted his soul to God, the faithful Creator and the faithful Judge. And we need to do the same thing. God is sovereign. God has a standard of righteousness, and God is the ultimate judge. That's point number one. God is a righteous judge. May we never forget that. It's a sobering thought, but it is a biblical and true thought and a biblical and true precept. Now, let's continue. This isn't the end of the story here, right? God's a righteous judge, but what else? Psalm 7, verses 3 through 5. Now, let's hear some more of the words of David as he goes through all of this. Psalm 7:3. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil, or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. And let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Boy, when you're praying that kind of prayer, that honest prayer before the Lord, you better be sure that you're righteous. You know, you better be sure you're on the right footing, because you're basically setting yourself up for the wrath of God and the judgment of God. Now, David obviously could say this in all sincerity. Even in his agony here, even in his desire to have his enemies silenced, to be taken care of, you know, take care of them, God, you know, he stops and he humbles himself before God. He asks God to look at his heart and to make sure that he's okay, to search him. Now, we know that David wasn't perfect. He greatly sinned. That's sort of not what this psalm is talking about, but we know there's other psalms. Psalm 51 in particular, I can recall, where he is really, really broken because of his sin. Well, this is not an instance of that, but we know David sinned. He wasn't perfect. We see that well documented in the Bible. But you know what David is that is good? David is open. David is vulnerable before the Lord. David just doesn't go like this and say, well, God, I'm good enough. I did enough. The scales are good for me versus my enemy, so take them out. You know, he says that, but he also knows, and he can look in his heart and say, I'm being honest with myself. I'm looking in the mirror here. I'm realizing there's things in my life that are not so good. We see at times in Scripture David does that. When he realizes what he's done, he goes before the Lord. There's that famous scene, of course, when Nathan the prophet comes to him in the Lord and basically tells him, you sinned against Bathsheba's? Thank you, Uriah. I couldn't think of it. So when he sins by having Uriah killed and taking Bathsheba as his wife, inappropriately, wrongly, in sin, he's cut to, you know, his sin, and he realizes. So David is able to take stock of his life through the good and the bad, and he's honest with himself and with God. No matter what you and I go through, whether we're totally in the right, totally in the wrong, or somewhere in the middle, which usually happens, no matter how evil our enemy is that we're facing, we can always look at ourselves and we can always say, what did I do wrong, maybe to bring this on? Or if I didn't bring this on, what can I learn from all of this, right? What can I do? What can I work out? What can I examine in my life? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let's go there. Lamentations 3, verse 40. You know, over the years, wisdom, you know, people give you wisdom about different things. And one of the things that I've heard from a very wise person, my life, who happens to be my wife, rhymes with life, is she always says, look, Jude, what can you learn from this situation? What can we learn from this situation? This is what we should always ask. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. This really says it right there. It's a really simple verse. But let us test and examine our ways. It's all about being honest. It's all about not hiding our sin. and it's about going to God. It's a combination, right? We acknowledge, we do our part. We acknowledge our sins. We acknowledge our wrongs. We look introspectively, but we also ask God to come. We ask God to search us and know us. We ask God to look upon our heart and to see if there is any way that's impure. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Let's go there. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is somebody that's really bearing themselves before the Lord. David, no matter what his shortcomings were, he could say this. We need to be able to say this. Point number two in our message today, we must examine our hearts before the Lord. Always in the process, be in that process of examining our hearts before the Lord. He wants us to come to him like a child comes to a parent. He wants us to tell him, hey, I messed up. You can imagine God, and you come to God, and he says, how was your day? And you say, well, I did this right, and I didn't do this right, and I really messed up here, kind of like parents and children do, or parents and children should do. And they work through it. They talk through it. This is what God wants from us, but we have to examine ourselves. Now, turn back to Psalm 7. We're going to go to the last verse of the psalm. We're going to go all the way to the end. We're going to see how David concludes this prayer to the Lord. Psalm 7:17. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord, the Most High. He ends on a note of praise to God. After all the back and forth, and this is kind of like a real model for us in our lives. We can wrestle with God. It's okay to wrestle with God. It's okay to be vulnerable with God. It's okay to be honest with God. But at the end of the day, are we going to be left like David? Are we going to be left praising God no matter what? Thanking God because of his righteousness. Whenever we get into situations where we have people coming against us, the natural tendency for you and I is to not necessarily end like David ended. I'll tell you what our natural tendency is. Oh, this is my natural tendency. I'm being honest about it. You can be honest too in your hearts. But the natural tendency that you and I have when enemies are pursuing us without cause many times is we don't say, God, thank you because of your righteousness. You know what we do? We have this thing called self-righteousness. You may have heard of it, right? You may have experienced it. The natural tendency we have is to become self-righteous when things are done against us. It's a huge problem for people. It's a huge problem for believers. We have this self-righteousness going on where we feel wronged. And what happens with self-righteousness is we become very hard, the opposite of open and vulnerable before the Lord. We become very stiff and hard and, well, I was right, God, right? You know what self-righteousness is. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we know. What easily happens is self-righteousness, the hardening, we take up offenses, we feel that we've been wronged. Many times, we don't know the full picture. And the danger is, when we don't know the full picture, and we know like a little bit of the piece of the picture, we can take up that offense. We can become self-righteous. We can think, there is nothing that I did wrong or that the person that got wrong, and how dare that person, and da-da-da-da-da. That's self-righteousness. But usually when we see the full picture, we have a little bit different perspective. So that's where maturity comes in, right? The spiritual maturity to say, I think I might know everything that's going on, but Lord, let me tap into your righteousness and not my own because I may be missing something. That's spiritual maturity. And you know what else? This is also a biblical concept. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Talking about self-righteousness is not a good thing. As it is written, Romans 3:10, none is righteous, no, not one. No one seeks for God. Or no one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. This is what the Bible tells us. The Bible basically says it's not about our righteousness because we have none. That self-righteousness thing, that is nothing at all. What we need to tap into is God's righteousness. So David was trying to tap into God's righteousness, and we see that in verse 17 at the end of Psalm 7. We know that we have no righteousness of our own. We know that God is the righteous judge and he is righteous. And guess what? We have this wonderful gift of salvation through Yeshua. But we also have Yeshua who has come to reconcile us to God, to bridge this chasm of righteousness and unrighteousness. Now, we're going to go back to Romans 3 in a minute, so you might want to just keep a finger there or something, or a bookmark. But I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It's talking about Yeshua here. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For our sake, God the Father, made him, Yeshua, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, Yeshua, we might become the righteousness of God. It's a very important verse. For our sake, the Father made Yeshua to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Yeshua we might become the righteousness of God. Yeshua died for our sins, all the sins that we've committed, all the self-righteousness that you and I have gone through, so that we can be reconciled to God and have a righteousness now in Yeshua. Now back to that Romans 3. Let's go a little bit further on in Romans 3, verses 21 through 24. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from Torah, though the Torah and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Yeshua the Messiah for all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua. Such important verses here for us. Yeshua is the righteousness of God. Yeshua makes us righteous before God. And that's the last point in our message today. Yeshua is our righteousness. Let's not believe and get into that lie, that self-righteousness of believing that we're righteous and we're right. Yeshua is our righteousness. So putting all this together, you see this intensely personal, vulnerable Psalm of David. You know, about 25 years ago on TV, I'm a little bit old enough to remember this, we started having this shift in like the TV culture. What we started having is this thing that is like so prevalent now, and it's called reality TV. You know reality TV, right? Well, the thing about reality TV is the whole unscripted reality TV. It's fascinating because it lets us peer in to people's private lives. It pulls back the curtain. You know, we see all these shows on TV, no matter what it is, of people in real life situations with their hair down, not with the makeup. You know, you see celebrities and, oh, they're so perfect. You see the celebrities for who they really are. You see all the problems, all the warts, all the issues that they have. This is reality TV. You get to see inside, behind the scenes. Well, Psalm 7 is reality for us. It's like reality TV for us because we get to peer in to this great warrior and king, David, who everybody can look up to and say, wow, he's so amazing. I want to be like David. He's he had a heart after God, right? Isn't that what we read in the Bible? But we also peer behind the curtains and we see the anguish of David and we see the utter vulnerability of David. And nobody wants to be vulnerable. We always want to be the tough guy, you know, the John Wayne guy. But what we need to be is vulnerable at times, like David. We need to see that, you know, the reality of David. He was a great warrior and king, yes, but he struggled. He wrestled with God. He cried out to God, and we see that throughout the psalm. It's such a personal psalm. It's such a beautiful thing to see David and God interacting. With God, David's saying, is this righteous judge. He's taking care of David's enemies. He will take care of our enemies. He'll be just in his judgments. But also we need to look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. What could I have done better, Lord? What should I have done better? Maybe I can do something better this week. Because none of us are righteous. And just like David was unrighteous. But we can see clearly in Scripture that though we have no righteousness of our own, God gives us a righteousness through Yeshua the Messiah. God is a judge, but he's also a righteous judge. He's also a merciful judge. His loving kindness, as I opened up the service today with Psalm 118, his loving kindness, his chesed, endures forever. Thank goodness for the blood of Yeshua that covers over us so we could stand before God, righteous before the righteous judge, and we can have that relationship with him, and we can have that connection with him. So we thank him for that today. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we thank you for your immense, tremendous mercy for us. Lord, you are the judge. You are the righteous judge. And Lord, we know we're all going to be judged, but we thank you, Lord God, that the blood of Yeshua covers over us. May we be honest with ourselves to look at our sins, to ask for forgiveness for our sins in the name of Yeshua, and be and be reconciled to you in righteousness through what Yeshua has done. So Lord, we thank you, God, that you're the judge, but that you're the righteous judge, and that you're loving and you're kind and you're merciful to us. We praise you for that, Lord God, and may this get deep into our heart of hearts, even on this Shabbat and throughout this next week. We thank you, God. We praise you, and we just lift it all up to you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.